Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Reverend Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you today. As we look at the scriptures today, I want to share with you the scripture from Matthew chapter 6, in which Jesus talks about putting your treasures in heaven, living so that your life is aimed at pleasing God and waiting upon Him for His good reward. So let's listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 27. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? The words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus is clearly pointing to a way of living that is aimed heavenward, aimed towards the kingdom of God, concerned about serving and pleasing God as the central feature of their life. We'll get a further look at what that means in a few moments. But first, I would like you to hear this song sung by Jonathan McReynolds, a young man who is a graduate of Moody Bible Institute. That's where I first encountered his music as he led worship and performed there during a pastor's conference. In this song, he focuses on his desire to have God in the simply expressed, gotta have you.
I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, oh Lord, I gotta have you. I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, oh Lord, yeah, gotta have you, yeah. So you make me as happy as I can be. Your love is a guarantee. In a world of changes, you and I together stay on my mind. You are the truth and the life. There's no other. I gotta have you.
What's your goal in life? What is it you are looking for? The standard goal that many people will put forward is happiness, which isn't a bad goal. God has made us to desire happiness. But with all the kinds of happiness that exist as possibilities, what is the happiness that God has set on our hearts? What is the joy that He would have us pursue? There's a huge difference between pursuing worldly happiness and pursuing the joy that is eternal, that comes from God. And Jesus points to that difference in this scripture where He speaks about storing up treasures in heaven. The kinds of treasures you can store in heaven are different than the kinds of treasures you can store on earth. And the outcome of those treasures is very different too. Treasures on earth are all temporal. Treasures on earth decay. They are destroyed by moth and rust. Thieves can break in and steal treasures set on earth. But those treasures that are stored in heaven can never be taken away, for they are in the presence of God, and they're of a different nature than those perishable things of earth. So Jesus tells us that we need to pursue a different goal. Now, as I approach this question, I'm going to use a term that I learned from one of my co-hosts on this radio show, from George Sinclair, who taught me about the idea of therapeutic moral deism. Now, he's probably already spoken about this in previous shows, and you've probably heard him on it, but let me just reiterate what therapeutic moral deism is in my understanding of it. First, let's say that it's a form of religion that too often replaces Christianity, both in the church and in our culture. Therapeutic moral deism is a form of religion that replaces Christianity. In that sense, it's a heresy. It's a misunderstanding of Christianity. Or in other cases, it's simply a completely different way of looking at the world held by some non-Christians. And here's what it kind of means for us. The title describes the mindset if you break it down. The word therapeutic refers to the goal of this worldview, of this religious perspective. The goal of therapeutic moral deism is healing and health and making your present life better. That the goal is simply a worldly goal of making your life better. And the possible ways that life might be better might be in terms of wealth, might be in terms of health, might be in terms of popularity, fame, importance. All these things which the Bible in some translation describes as mammon is much more than just the pursuit of money. Mammon is the idea of all the worldly goods, all the worldly attributes and goals that we might pursue. In therapeutic moral deism, the goal of life is for God to make us better. God's job, it seems, is to wait on us hand on and foot, is to provide for us the things we need to achieve our goals and make us happy. That's how therapeutic moral deism looks at the goal of life. The term moral refers to the method of achieving the goal, obeying rules and principles of action. That's how you get to the happiness that you desire for yourself in therapeutic moral deism. In this mindset, the idea is that the right principles, the right actions will always result in happiness. They will always result in your good. And the third term of deism in therapeutic moral deism says that the goal of happiness, which is going to be achieved by moral action, has a place for God in it. Deism is a theological term which describes the expected action of God in this process. Deism does not refer to the God of the Bible, who acts in history and works moment by moment, sustaining all things and blessing and injecting his presence and grace into the world. Instead, deism refers to the God of some philosophers who imagine a great power that set the universe on its course and then abandoned it, ceasing from all further activity. In therapeutic moral deism, the idea is that the world is set up by God in such a way that if you live right, everything will work out in your favor, and God doesn't actually have to do anything because he set up the world properly in the first place. Now, you can see that these terms describe a universe in which God has set a moral order, which causes things to work out for a happy life as long as people follow the rules. This goal has nothing to do with God. The means to achieve it has nothing to do with God. And there is no help to be had from God, for God has nothing further to do with the world. That's the idea of therapeutic moral deism. And with such high-sounding words, it may sound like a rare, esoteric kind of philosophy, but it's actually practically how many people live their lives. They pursue their own goals. They try to do what's right and follow whatever set of commandments seems right to them. And they hope that by following the right rules, they'll manage to get by without actually needing God to intervene or play a part in their life. As you can see, this false viewpoint of therapeutic moral deism is utterly opposed to Christianity. For in Christianity, the goal of life is to serve and love God at any cost. And the means of achieving this goal is grace operating through faith. And the God who calls us into this life is constantly with us to help us, direct us, and restore us when we fall short. Well, I'm going to take a deeper look at how treasures in heaven that Jesus speaks about repudiates the idea of therapeutic moral deism and calls us to an entirely different set of goals, an entirely different means of achieving those goals, and a walk with God in which God is active and living in our lives. But before we do that, I do want to have you listen to a song in which George Beverly Shea speaks about life as a railway to heaven, that the goal of life is that goal in the eternal kingdom of God. And this is from George Beverly Shea's album, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Won't you listen to it with me?
Make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that fills the tunnels. Never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle.
Christ is your conductor on this lightning train of life. Always mindful of obstruction, do your duty, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail.
Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore,
where the angels wait to join us in thy praise for.
Now, when our goal in life is the kingdom of God, and we're ready to learn from God that working towards that goal means postponing some of our happiness until God establishes His kingdom here on earth, that the lives of the saints, the life of Jesus and of the prophets, and even of all of Israel shows the example that following God is not a bed of roses or a bowl of cherries. Following God can mean trouble. You see, God is calling us to these treasures in heaven, and He points to something beyond present-day prosperity and to eternal rewards and eternal goals which are often incompatible with earthly well-being. Remember the example of Jesus. Even in not just in going to the cross, which He did not for His comfort, but to bless us, He suffered there on the cross for us. But He also demonstrates that the life of following God is a life of making daily sacrifices. As He told His disciples, take up your cross daily and follow Me. For when Jesus was teaching and healing and ministering, He faced opposition, which is uncomfortable. He faced really, really serious demands on His time and His effort, so much so that there were often times when He needed to withdraw and get apart because the press of the crowd was so demanding on Him. We find one scene in the Scriptures where He's asleep in the midst of a great storm, and we can presume that part of the reason He was able to sleep through that storm was because He was trusting in His Heavenly Father to protect Him. But we can also understand that He was a man, a human being, with the limitations that God has rightly put into the human frame, and He was tired after ministering, and also as He grieved at that time in His life, grieved the death of John the Baptist. Jesus made sacrifices to serve the people of God as He lived on this life. And we shouldn't expect that our life should be different than that. Now, I want to point out that this idea of people pursuing earthly rewards and ignoring the kingdom of God, ignoring the treasures in heaven that they are to store up, these are not only people that live outside the church. Therapeutic moral deism is not only found among unchurched people. And sure enough, the gluttonous pursuit of money, food, sex, and power is rampant and ungodly in the world. But Jesus, in Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount, describes religious hedonism as well. The passage that we read today about storing up treasures in heaven follows right after Jesus talks about people who use generosity in the church and prayer in the church and fasting in the church only to aggrandize themselves and to seek the approval of people. So the person who announces his gift with trumpets and great fanfare, Jesus says that person has received their reward in full. They've gotten what they wanted, which was not the approval of God, but the applause of other people. And the person who prays and prays only to be seen as holy, who's trying to show off how religious he is, or the person who fasts and studies only to boast, these people are also merely following the rules of religion to achieve selfish goals and using the name of God as the disguise for their avarice. As Jesus says, they have received their reward in full and should expect no pat on the back from their Father in heaven. But let us confess, we too come to God seeking our own happiness. We too pray for health, food, and money. Now, in itself, it's not wrong to ask your Heavenly Father for good things, for He delights to provide for the needs of His children. But the Apostle James says it rightly in Scripture when he writes, "Too often we ask for these things only so that we can spend them on our own pleasures. Instead of using our health and strength and earthly treasure to be effective ambassadors of the kingdom of God, don't we often pray for our own comfort simply to enable us to have our hedonistic desires, our selfish desires here on earth? Jesus instead tells us to trust our Heavenly Father, for God knows what we need. God is not passive, like the God of therapeutic moral deism. He actively works in your life and circumstances, but not as a domestic servant granting your plans, but as a sovereign Lord equipping His servants for His purposes. He will provide what we need to accomplish His goals. The question then, are your eyes set on the kingdom of God, or are your eyes set on the darkness of your own selfish desires? Jesus says, if your eyes are good, then your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eyes are in the wrong place, your whole soul will be filled with darkness. Doesn't this remind us, though, that the teaching of Jesus, there is no guarantee of an untroubled life? That's one of the hard truths, that Jesus does not promise an untroubled life. Mind you, there is no escape from trouble for those who do not believe. There's no escape from trouble for those who pursue selfish gain. Everybody experiences trouble. But to be clear, Jesus promises that in this world we will have trouble. But those who receive Jesus can turn to Him to help us through the dark maze of this world and lead us into the eternal light of His everlasting kingdom. We do not worship a God who is insensitive to our needs, but who calls us to a higher goal, nor do we worship a God who leaves us to accomplish this goal on our own, but who comes and walks with us and strengthens us for His purposes. Let's turn to this God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank You that You are alive and living in this world, that You are with us, powerful to work for Your goals in our lives. May we, Almighty God, set our goals on Your kingdom, disdaining the troubles of this world, willing to face anything in order to glorify Your name. May You make us a blessing to those who are lost in this world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, as we conclude the program, you're going to hear a rather different piece of music from Group One Crew, which speaks the gospel in a kind of rap sort of way as they present a message, Keys to the Kingdom, from Group One Crew.
Thy kingdom come, let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They say we're all in the pursuit of happiness.
A life so fabulous.
So we fight for what's ours like an activist. The struggles here we can find across the atlas. And it all started when Adam gave up his own palace. Now the earth waits for its rightful owner. 2,000 years ago the second Adam told us, the kingdom is at hand, die for the sins of man, just so He can bring us back to His original plan, where we rule over the land and meet every demand. And nature awaits for us kings to take a stand, but we need to understand that we can change circumstances.
The kingdom is in us, so we choose when to advance.
Thank you.
for me. Also, I can call you when I'm so in need of promises you've spoken. My heart was always broken, cause you gave the keys to life, but in my pride I had them stolen. They say you still redeem us, bring us to a place where we can see the keys can never be stolen. They just misplaced, so we rise from the ashes, stand for the masses, proclaim the victory is ours, and so we
never give up.
Even though times get hard to understand, for us to sit back and hope he has a plan. And face the cold with a boldness that is focused on the fact we got the key, so just believe there's nothing closed.
Yeah.
And it's all because
you got the keys inside.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies, to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.